Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masechta Beitzos, daf mem, final daf of the Masechta. Yes, Hashem, we're going to finish the Masechta today. Tomorrow, Shabbos, so we're going to get together an hour before Mincha to learn the daf. Tomorrow's the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And then during Shal Shabbos, we're going to join the crowd and we're going to make a siyum on the Masechta. Okay. We're not starting with the Mishnah, we're starting with the Gemara. Gemara yesterday, we're in the middle of the Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of the following discussion. If you look back to Lamed Tes Amud Alef, so the Mishnah told us that I have a boar shel yachid. So whose tchum does it follow? So as you've been following along these past couple of days, so our discussion has been tchum an yantiv. So tchum an yantiv not only is going to circumscribe me within a certain parameter of yantiv, where I cannot go 2,000 amas at miyam my makom shvisa, but it's also going to affect all my possessions. Everything I own is going to fall under my tchum as well. So if I own any item that's under my ownership, is going to be circumscribed by my tchum. So if somebody comes from, well, actually that's today's discussion. Okay, not yet. Hold on that thought. So that means then that I cannot send anything of mine beyond my tchum. Okay, good. Somebody comes in from out of town who has a different tchum, so he takes something of mine. He can't walk with it back to where he can go if I can't go there. Good, that's been our discussion. Partnership has been a big part of our discussion. What if I have two items? What if I have a single item owned by two people and the two people don't have the same tchum? So then you have to look at the Venn diagram and basically wherever they overlap in the middle, that's the only place where you can move the item. You can't move the item past the joint, the shared area where they both can walk with it. Okay, that's been the general discussion the past couple of days. The Mishnah Lamed Tes Amud Aleph talked about a boar shel yachid. So if the pit belongs by an individual, let's say a pit, we're talking about basically a water source. Okay, they stored the water, open up the ground, stored a little bit of water in the ground, and boar shel yachid. So if it's owned by an individual, so obviously all the water in that pit now is under my ownership, and therefore anyone who takes from that pit is going to have to be circumscribed by my tchum. The pit of the city, so the city is viewed as a partnership. Everyone has a joint ownership of that boar shel ear. And so once again, you're circumscribed by the city. Okay, and what about the ole bavel? So this is where it got interesting, and this is where the Gemara spent all of its time focusing on. The ole bavel, so now basically I have a pit designated for the people going up and making aliyah. Aliyah l'regel. Okay, temporary aliyah. So they go up, they go for yantiv, and they draw from this pit. So who is the proud owner of that water? So as we pointed out yesterday, just a great way to view this is that either the pit belongs to everybody, or the pit belongs to nobody. Right? That's the way we presented the question yesterday. So if it belongs to everybody, so that means there's a partnership, and then you're going to be a little bit stuck. If it belongs to nobody, so then you're getting it from Hefker, which is going to work out a little bit better. So, what was our big discussion yesterday between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? If you look back at Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, so we saw a machlokes between the Amoraim. On what scenario? Itmar. If you take a look back, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We'll start here, even though, I cover this ground, but let's just go back to the beginning of the discussion. So Itmar, Mile Venatzel Lachavero. So you fill up the water, and you we're talking about Ole Bavel. You fill up the water and you hand it to somebody else. Rav Nachman Amar Karagle Mishin Esmalalo. And Rav Sheshes Amar Karagle Hamemale. So Rav Sheshes says the one who fills it, that's it. He acquired it. It's his tchum. And Rav Nachman takes an interesting position. No, it's not his, but rather it's who he filled it for, the designated recipient. So we have over here basic machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, and now b'maika miflugi. And so now the Gemara wants to know, what's the pshat? So let's say a pshat over here in this machlokus. So marzav rabir defkeru, marzav rabir deshutehu. So the Gemara suggests a pshat, and that is, how do we view the boar? Is the boar hefker, or is the boar that of a partnership? So the Gemara says, and Rashi explains, and what? So if it's a partnership, so then as partners, I can designate them as a shliach, right? Partners are, I told you the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Beis, where the Gemara over there states that if you have a partnership, it's easier to appoint your partner as a shliach. You already have a relationship. You already have a built-in relationship. So appoint him as a shliach is very easy. So therefore, I just simply say to him, look, we're partners over the water, so do me a favor, get some for me. Good. So that would be then the an explanation of Rav Nachman. What about Rav Sheshet? Rav Sheshet, the way the Gemara is presenting it right now, is of the opinion that it's Borshal Hefker. Belongs to nobody. It's not that it belongs to everybody. It belongs to nobody. Now, if it belongs to nobody, so now what am I doing? I'm picking up from Hefker. I can't pick something up from Hefker to give it to somebody else. That is a zechus for yourself. So if you want to fend for yourself, that's fine. But you can't fend for somebody else when other people are gonna be losing. That you're not allowed to do. But makom shechav la'acherim. So that would be an explanation.
Can you fend for somebody as a shliach?
Excellent question. And not only is that an excellent question, that's an excellent question. And Tosfos spoke about this. Tosfos discusses your very issue. Okay, if you'll remind me afterwards, I'll find the Tosfos for you. He discusses that question. Okay. So the good. So okay. So the Gemara says you came right out of the box today. Shush. You didn't even drink your coffee yet. It's unbelievable. Okay. So the Beer Deshutfehu. So the okay. Good. That's an explanation of Rav Sheshes. Okay. So therefore, it can only belong to the tchum of the one who filled it up. Okay. Eisvei Rav LeRav Nachman. The Gemara now challenges based on a brisa. Hareini alecheirim hamuder aser, harei ata alecheirim hanoder aser, hareini alecha veata alei shteim asurim ze beze. Okay, so as we described yesterday, people are unhappy with one another, unfortunately, and so it results in nedarim being made. You're not going to get benefit from me, and moreover, not only you're not getting benefit from my possessions, but I myself am making a neder where I'm not going to get benefit from your possessions. Okay, so the and a person can do that. Okay, shouldn't do that. But a person has the right to make such an eder. So Ashnei Asurim Zebezeh Umutar Bishal Ole Bavo VaAsurim Bishal Oso Air. So items which are owned under a joint partnership, like any property within the city, so that now they're both shareholders, so that's going to be a problem. That's going to be not a problem. Let's say better. That'll be prohibited. But if it's Ole Bavel, if it's anything like Ole Bavel, so then it's no problem. They can draw from the water. And the brisa goes on. And let's go over a short list of things which are fall under the category of Ole Bavel. Harabayas, Lishko, Zazaros, Bor, Shal Emtza Haderech. So the Lishka, the Azara, anything in the base of Mikdash, right? Owned by nobody. Right, property of the Beis HaMikdash. And Bor Shalem Tzad Derech, that's the key line over there, that's what we're looking for. The pit in the middle of the way. Bor Shal Rabin, basically. Ve'elon Shal Osar, yeah, and what's considered owned by the city. So, HaRechov, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMerchatz, so the street, the shul, the shvitz. So all those are owned in a partnership. Good. So, Iyamar Bir Deshutfehu, Amai Mutter. So, huh? Belongs to everybody, belongs to nobody, if you prefer to say it that way.
Why is that different than
Basic Nessus? Basic Nessus is a shul in the town.
So
belongs to the people. We paid.
Harabais is a larger scale.
Well, Harabais is its own separate entity. It belongs to Hektish. Okay. So the Hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ashut from Shinajo and Azemi Zah, certainly counts the Chatzir. And obviously the way if the Mishnah in Nedarim, if the Brisa in Nedarim is allowing these two people who are by neder forbidden to get benefit for one another, if they can get if they're entitled to Borshal Rabim, that means the Borshal Rabim cannot be viewed as part of the partnership. Obviously, can't be part of the partnership if it were considered as part of the partnership. So then they can't drink from the water. So the Gemara says, the next word lirchotz, okay, we'll take it out as per the instruction of the Bach. But anyway, hachanami v'hachba ma'iskin lamalos marmi didei kamemale marmi didei kamemale. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Your point is very well taken. In other words, the way to view Borshal Rabim is not, it's not owned by a partnership, but you're right; it belongs to nobody. Okay, so now that we've concluded that it belongs to nobody based on the Mishnayos and Nedarim, so now we're going to have to say a pshat. In other words, we start with a machlok chin Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes in terms of when we draw from the water, whose tchum does it fall under? Does it fall under the drawer or does it fall under the designated recipient? So now the Gemara says we're going to have to say a new pshat. And that is, marmi didei kamamale, marmi didei kamamale. So the Gemara says that when I'm drawing water, the issue is whether or not I could say, I can make the argument that I'm drawing my water. Drawing my water. V'savar Rav Nachman yesh breira. So the Gemara says, this is not a statement, actually it's a question. And now the Gemara is bothered by the following. So that means as follows. Basically, here's the Gemara's argument. In defense of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that you can give it to the designated recipient. How does that work? So basically, it works, says Rav Nachman, because we have a principle, we have a concept called Breira. We've been Breira intensive these past couple of days in the Daf. And we go back to Breira once again. Breira is retroactive designation, meaning I'm going to make a decision now, but it's going to go retroactive to the point from the point where I needed to go to. So over here we're talking about Tchum, so we're going back to the Banish Mashas period. So when I'm drawing water, what I'm really drawing is I'm really drawing my own water. That's what Rav Nachman's argument is. And so therefore, I'm not taking Hefker away from somebody else. I'm taking water that is properly owned, belongs to that person. So that means then that Rav Nachman, in order to argue this point, has to subscribe to the point of Breira. The Hatanan, the Gemara says, but we know Rav Nachman doesn't subscribe to Breira. How do we know that? Based on the following Mishnah in Bukharos. The Mishnah says, Ha'achan ha'shutfim kishachayim b'kavim p'tur me'maisa behema. If I have brothers who are partners, what does it mean, brothers who are partners? So it means that dad died and dad left an estate. Okay? So, how do we view these two brothers? Let's just say that the two brothers, just to make it simple, how do we view these two brothers in respect to the estate? Now, we just had the discussion just the other day regarding the distribution of the estate, the allocation of the estate, in terms of whether or not they're viewed as lekuchos. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was Rav Yochanan who said that they're viewed as lekuchos to one another. Okay, fine. But now we're not talking right now Rav Yochanan, we're talking now Rav Nachman. Well, first we're talking out in a Mishnah in Bukhara. So the Mishnah says that when I have brothers who are partners, so that means now that they have a shared estate, that they haven't divided yet. So when they're obligated in the kalbon, so they're going to be exempt from Maaser Behema. And when they're obligated in Maaser Behema, they're going to be exempt from the kalbon. So you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi gives all the source material in terms of these halachas. But basically, to say it simply, Maaser Behema, the obligation to give every tenth of my animal as a karbon to the Beis HaMikdash, that's only if there's a sole proprietor of the animals. If there is a partnership, so then there's no mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Okay? Gzeres HaKasef. Okay, you could take a look at Rashi for, again, all the source material for this halacha. Fine. And the kalbon, we remember Shkalim not that long ago. So in Masechta Shkalim, so we know that when you give machzis a shekel, so not only do you have to give a half a shekel, but you have to give a little bit more than that. What do you have to add to that? You have to add the kalbon. But that's only if you're paying for your own machzis a shekel. If you're paying for somebody else's machzis a shekel, so then you don't have to contribute the kalbon. Okay, so the Mishnah says that there's going to be an inverse relationship between the Maaser Behema obligation and the Kalbon obligation. So if the brothers are going to be obligated in Kalbon, so they're going to be exempt from Maaser Behema, meaning that they're viewed as a partner, they're viewed as a partnership. And if they're obligated in Maaser Behema, so then they're going to be exempt from the Kalbon. If they're obligated in Maaser Behema, so then we're going to be viewing them as sole entity. If we're viewing them as sole entity, so if I'm taking money from the estate to pay for my brother, so that's considered now not basically me paying for somebody else, and I'm going to be exempt from kalbon. But on the other hand, since we're a partner, so we're going to be, when we're going to be obligated in Maaser Behema, meaning that we are considered a partner, so then we're going to be exempt from the kalbon. Okay, so says the Mishnah in Bukharas. And that's just the beginning of the discussion. The Amar Rav Anan. So first we introduce ourselves to Rav Anan, and just wait for it, because Rav Nachman's coming up in just a moment, and that's really who we want to key in on. Lo shana lo shechalku gedim keneged talayim, talayim keneged gedim. Ava chilku gedim keneged gedim, talayim keneged talayim. Omer zeu chalko amagio misha rishana lakach. If let's say we have an estate, we're dividing the estate, and let's say we are bartering with one another. You know, I'm not into goats. I'm not much into goats. I know Dad left in the estate a number of goats. I'll tell you what. You keep all the goats, and I'll take the cows. You keep all the goats, and I'll take the sheep. Or in other words, basically it's a barter. So then Rav Anan says that is considered like we are bartering with one another. We are lekuchos. However, says Rav Anan, if let's say we divide the sheep right in half, 10 sheep, You get five, I get five. 10 cows, you get five, I get five. So Rav Hanan says, how do we view that? We view that as the Yerusha. That is what I directly received from the estate itself, and we didn't barter with one another. That is the sheet of Rav Hanan. And then the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman Amar, Afilu chilko gedim keneged gedim, utalaim keneged talaim, ein omer zeh chilko magiyo mishar rishon lakach. So Rav Nachman takes the hardline approach, which is, doesn't matter how the estate is distributed, does not matter how it's divided. Either way, even if it's 10 sheep, 5 goes to me and 5 goes to you, that's still viewed as a barter. That's not viewed as the original estate coming down to me. And so therefore, we are considered lekuchos one to another. And so obviously, what do you see from this point? Rav Nachman does not subscribe to Breira, period, at all. So what the Gemara now is pointing out is that our next approach in our machlok is between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Where Rav Nachman says that you know who gets it, the designated recipient. How does he get it? Using the principle of Breira. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't work out. Because we just learned the Mishnah Becharos, and Rav Nachman says on that Mishnah Becharos, that once the estate is divided, and it's irrespective of how the estate is divided, but once the estate is divided, they are viewed as lekuchos one another, because Rav Nachman simply does not subscribe to Breira. So if he doesn't subscribe to Breira, so now, once again, where are we now on this machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? So I was thinking in those terms, but it happens to be that the Tchumim is a Derabbanan issue, and the Yerusha would be a Daraisa issue. Okay, and to support your position, the Gemara just did that just the other day. So it could be. And why the Gemara does not suggest that over here? Okay, maybe the Gemara knows. I don't know. The point's well taken. So the Gemara says, "Ella dekoleyama biradef kerehu." So the Gemara says, "Okay, we're not gonna use Breira. Breira cannot be an option because we're trying to explain Rav Nachman, and so we're going to have to go back to the issue to the point that the boar is considered hefker. Now, if the boar is considered hefker, so now what is the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? Once again, Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that's keragle hamamale, the one who fills it. It's his tchum. And Rav Nachman says, no, it is rather that of the designated recipient. And the Gemara says like this, Hacha b'magbia mitzia licha veiro kemifelgi. Marsava kano, marsava lo kano. And over here, I'm picking up the item for my friend. One says that you're kona, the other one says you're not kona. So Rashi over here explains. Rashi over here says a pshat that he does not like. And then Rashi, meaning that it's what others are saying, and Rashi says, I don't like it. And Rashi turns to a pshat that he prefers. And we're going to go right to the Rashi, and we're going to go right to the point where we're going to say over the pshat that he prefers. Take a look at the last Rashi in the right before the Mishnah, where we're going to start from. Okay, Elahachi Garcinan. Okay, right in the middle of the Rashi, the last words on the line, Elahachi Garcinan. Now to the next line. So first of all, right, it's a girsa issue. So Rashi says that the girsa is basically as I just read it in our Gemara. And Rashi says, now what's the pshat? So Rashi says, first of all, we all agree. If I pick up something from Hefker for somebody else, that doesn't create a kinyan. Again, you can't do that. You can advocate, more than advocate. You can't be kona from Hefker for somebody else. For yourself, that's fine. But not for somebody else. That's the starting point of the whole discussion. Ela im kana ha-magbiya im lo kana pligi. The issue over here is the magbiya, the one who picked it up. Did he create a kinyan? So Rav Nachman sa'ava lo kana ha-magbiya de lava daita le-miknei. So Rav Nachman says, no, he wasn't kona. Why wasn't he kona? Because he wasn't picking it up for himself. So therefore, he didn't create a kinyan. Ela mishnas malokanam bimishicha kishiyikablaim. So Rashi says, so what's happening over here is that when the one who's drawing draws, so he isn't kona because he had no intent to be kona for himself. At the same time, the other person wasn't kona as well, because you can't create a zechus for somebody else when it's chav la'acherim. So it's interesting. So basically, while the mamale is holding it, it's kind of like, it's still hefker. right, still held in abeyance. And only when the transfer is made from the mamale to the designated recipient, so then there'll be a kinyan. So let's just wait, give me a moment. Now it's true we do say that the designated recipient isn't making an acquisition. That's true, as long as he hasn't actually physically acquired it. But once you give it to him, so that creates a kinyan. Good. So that's an explanation of Rav Nachman. That's why Rav Nachman says that it goes to the designated recipient. What's Rav Sheshis's position? Let's continue in Rashi. Rav Sheshis Savar, Kana Hamagbia Tchila, Umiyado Kablan Zeh, Hilkach Karagla Mamale. So Rav Sheshis says, look, even though I picked it up for somebody else, but I can't do that. So when I pick it up, so who is going to be Kona? Me. I did the Hagbah, therefore I create the Kenyan. Now, it's true I'm going to now transfer to somebody else, but I can't transfer Tchum, meaning I can make a kinyan, I can acquire the Tchum, but I then can't transfer the Tchum to somebody else, so therefore that's Rav Sheshis' explanation, or not explanation, but the explanation of Rav Sheshis, where that it's only going to be the Tchum of the Mamale, not of the designated recipient. That's Rashi's preferred pshat in the Gemara, and he says, and that's what's going on over here.
Verbal declaration like, oh, this is Dvarim
Shvaleh. Could go either way. All right, that's correct. That's a general rule. So it could be with articulation. Okay, quickly summarize now. That's the end of this sugya. So again, so the Gemara, the Mishnah is very clear that if I own a pit, so the water follows my tchum. The city owns a pit, the city follows the city's tchum. And then Ole Regel. So Ole Regel, so we have a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis. First of all, how do we view the Ole Regel? So that's unclear. So the Gemara basically can go in one of two directions. Either it's owned by everybody, or it's owned by nobody. The owned by nobody seems to be a better pshat because of the Mishnah in Nedarim. Okay? And then there's a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis, because Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis says, what if I draw the water from Ole Regel for somebody else? So if we're viewing this pit like Hefker, which is basically the preferred way to look at it, if we're viewing the pit as Hefker, so then I can't draw water for somebody else. So Rav Nachman says it follows the tchum of the designated recipient. Rav Sheshis says it follows the tchum of the mamale. What's the machlokas? So the Gemara ends off by saying, according to Rashi, that the machlokas is that when I draw the water, am I making a kinyan? So Rav Nachman says, no, you're not. Rav Sheshis says, yes, you are. Since Rav Sheshis says, yes, you are making a kinyan, so therefore it follows your tchum. And you can't transfer your tchum to somebody else. You can give the water to somebody else, but you can't transfer the tchum to somebody else. According to Rav Nachman, no. You know, you didn't make a kinyan. You had in your mind you weren't going to make a kinyan. So it's still in Hefker. It's still in the world of Hefker while it's in your hand. And when you give it over to somebody else, then and only then does he make an acquisition on the water and on the tchum of the water. Okay. Yes. Yeah, in other words, you have to do some sort of actual act of acquisition.
No, I'm saying, are you acquiring the
bore? No, just the water. Just the water. The bore belongs to nobody. The bore is Hefker. It's just a question now of the water. Okay, Adkan. Well, the usual point of kinyan is meshicha. Meshicha means I draw it to me.
No, the tchum.
So the tchum now, it depends on who's... Yeah, but in other words, the point is you can't transfer tchum. Once it has a tchum boundary, so that's it. Tchums are non-transferable. According to everybody, tchums are non-transferable. The only question now becomes, who's making the kinyan? That's irrespective. The tchum is all going to be guided by whoever is the first one who acquires it. That's the issue. And then, according to Rashi, the issue is who's the first one acquiring it. I'm not following. Again.
It's
nothing in the pit. In the pit, it belongs to nobody. Right. So it's got nobody's tchum stamped on it. The one who draws it now is going to stamp his tchum on it. Again, we're not talking about the city's pit.
Right.
The city's pit, right, go back to the Mishnah. The city's pit belongs to the city's tchum. Because the way the city is viewed is a partnership. We're talking about, right, we're talking about Ole Regal. Okay. All right, Misha Yaperos of Beir Acheres. Okay. Your fruit right now is in another city. Okay? In a city that is, under normal circumstances, beyond your reach, beyond your tchum. So, the Irvu B'nei Oso Eir Lahavi Etzlo. Now, you've done nothing. You've been sitting at home. What about the fact that you're produce right now in some other city? Okay, I'll manage. I got plenty to keep me going for Yontif. And then the other city was kind enough, was nice enough, where they're going to make an Erev to get to you, an Erev Tchum to get to you, and bring it to you. What's the halacha? Lo yavio lo. Okay, and the halacha is, they can't bring it to you. You didn't do anything. In your mind, that fruit was out of reach. And I mean that here almost literally. Meaning you didn't have a tchum to get to that other city. The im erev hu, but if he made an erev to get to the other city, obviously before Yontif, that's the only time you can make an erev tchum, if you made an erev to get to the other city prior to Yontif, peirosav kamohu. So now you did something that you are now saying, I want that fruit, so now the fruit is going to be following your tchum. Yeah, but remember, in the apartment, though, we're not making Erev Tchum, we're making Erev Chatzeres. Right. We're talking now Erev Tchum. So, Misha Zimin Etzlo Orchim, Lo Yolichol B'yadom Manos, Elim Kein Zachalahem Manoseim Me'erev Yontif. You got invited over to somebody for Yontif. And there happens to be, it's going to be a bit of a trek. And it happens to be that you made an Erev in order to get there. But now the produce is going to be under whose tchum? It's going to be under your tchum. Now, here's what you want to do. You would like before Yontif, you know you're going to bring over a bottle of wine. You would like before Yontif that this wine not be circumscribed by my tchum, but it be circumscribed by my host's tchum. So what do you do? The Mishnah says, Mizakeh. You actually create an acquisition. Zachen la'adam. You create an acquisition for that person. Do you need that person physically there in order to create the zechus? No, you don't. You just simply get another person, right? A third party, and say, look, on his behalf, you're going to accept this wine. Good, done. So that's the Mishnah says, as long as you do that, so then he, the host, can now have that wine be under his tchum going into Yontif. It needs a kinyan. Needs an actual acquisition. Okay? We start with the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to, almost the balance of today is going to deal with one topic. Very interesting topic. So the Gemara starts off, Itmar Amafkid Peros, Eitzel Chavero. Amafkid my Peros. So here I am now. Just leave the Mishnah aside for a moment and just focus on this one issue. Okay? I go over to Ben and I say to Ben, look, I'm going to be away a little bit. I'm going to entrust you with my fruit. In other words, I wanted you to be my shomer. Okay, well, in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, we'll speak about shomer extensively. So you're going to be my shomer, which means now that you're going to accept all responsibility. Okay, not all, but right, but most of the responsibility and most of the liability of that fruit. The fruit is owned by me, but Ben has accepted responsibility if he accepts the shmira. So I now ask him to watch fruit going into Yontif. So Amafkid Peretz Itzel Chavero. So over here, the question is a really simple question. Whose tchum is now this fruit going to be bound by? Is it going to be bound by the owner? Or is it going to be bound by the shomer? Now, as a shomer, you don't become the owner, but you become fully liable for the item. So that liability obviously creates a responsibility. But also with that responsibility, you have... There always are benefits to responsibility. And there's always responsibility to benefits. So whose tchum does it follow? So over here, basic machlokas. So Rav Amar Karagle Mishiv Kido Alo, Ushmul Amar Karagle Hamafkid. So I'm going to work backwards, if you don't mind. So Shmuel's position, easy, right? So Shmuel says, look, I'm the owner, so it's mine. I asked him to watch it for me, that's great. He'll watch it, he'll take on his shmir responsibility, but I'm the owner. I'm not transferring my tchum over to him. I'm just asking him to watch the fruit. It still is under my ownership. and therefore my tchum.
And if there's a loss.
And if there's a loss, so he'll be liable. But I'm not transferring tchum.
No.
The shomer's liable. Okay, good. In other words, he has ownership, but he doesn't have the tchum. For our purpose, it may matter, but let's just keep it simple. Okay, and Rav says no. Now I'm going to go. Now I'm working backwards. Rav says karagli mishif kidulo, and Rav says no. The shomer is responsible. The shomer's liable. So together with all that nice responsibility and liability, also he gets the tchum of it as well. Right.
If he has to, let's say something happens, he has to move the food. So
okay. Good. All right. We have two positions. So obviously both of them are defensible. I mean, we have Rav on one side, Shmuel on the other side. So Elu ve'Elu. So, but let's now suggest the following: Lema Rav Shmuel Dazel Tamayo did not. So the Gemara says, well, interesting. We have a Mishnah Baba Kama. Let's learn the Mishnah together. And you'll see that based on the psak of Rav and Shmuel and that Mishnah Babakama, now it sounds like everything fits in almost perfectly. Now the Mishnah Babakama is the following: Imhichnas Birushus, Bal HaChatzer Chayev. Let's say I say to Ben, look, I didn't ask him formally to take on the responsibility of being a shomer, but look, can I park my car in your driveway? Ben says, sure, no problem at all. Okay. We don't formalize. We don't say to one another, you're going to be a shomer? Yeah, I'll be a shomer. No. I just simply say, I'd like to park my car in your driveway. Yes or no? Now, the car is a bad example. It's not a terrible example. Let's go old-fashioned. Let me not make this contemporary. You'll see. An animal. Can I park my animal in your driveway? You'll see. It's better understood with an animal. You'll see the upcoming Gemara's discussion. So can I park my animal in your driveway? So Ben's like, no problem. Sure, go ahead. Okay, so im ichnas bereshus balachatzer chayev. So the Tanakhama says that Ben, with that agreement, basically takes on the full shomer liability, even though he didn't say, "I will be a shomer." But it's okay. It's implied. It's implicit in the agreement that yeah, go ahead, park it in my driveway. And Rabbi Amar lo olam eino chayev shekaba ala balabais lishmor. And Rabbi says no. Rebbe says that if Ben's going to be a shomer, Ben's got to accept upon himself the shmira. He's got to say, I'm going to be a shomer. Then and only then is he going to be a shomer. But until that point in time, even if there's an agreement, where you go ahead, yeah, leave it by me. But that doesn't mean he's going to be a shomer. It just simply means, you want to leave it by me, that's fine. Now, Now here's the part we got to follow. Rav says Allah falls like the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, Baba Kama. Ushmul Amar Allah Kerebi, and Shmuel says that the Halacha falls like Rebbe. Okay, now mind you, here's what we're doing right now. Mishnah Baba Kama is a monetary issue, strictly monetary. And oh, by the way, when it comes to monetary law, who do we follow? We follow Shmuel. Shmuel's Halacha is usually the determinant in terms of monetary law. When it comes to Issa V'Heter, who do we normally follow? We follow Rav. Halacha k'rab be'iser and halacha k'shmul be'mamanos. So it is interesting. Tchum is not a monetary law. Tchum is iser. Iser v'heter, where I can go and where I can't go on Shabbos and Yontif. So it is interesting that the Gemara is comparing or trying to put together hilchos mamanos together with halachos of tchum. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara now is saying that, look, we know how they, the Amoraim, hold when it comes to that Mishnah Baba Kama. Shmuel goes like Rabbi, and Rav goes like the Tanakhama. Now, Lema Rav da Amar Kerab, Banu Shmuel da Amar Kerabbi. And so now here's what the Gemara is going to suggest. That in the case of being a Mafkid, or where Rav says that when you're a Mafkid, so whose Tchum is it going to follow? It's going to follow the Shomer's Tchum. Shmuel says, no, it follows the owner's Tchum. So ostensibly, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe our machlokas here in, and I was going to say in Erevin, okay, close, in Beitza, but about Erevin, our machlokas here in Beitza actually corresponds to that same machlokas over there in Baba Kama, where Shmuel's position is that it belongs to, the tchum belongs to the owner. Happens to be, Shmuel also postulates like Rebbe, that he's not going to accept Shmira until he says he's going to accept Shmira. So that means it's more connected to the owner. And Rav, who says that no, that the tchum follows the shomer also happens to follow like the chachamim, where just a simple invitation, yes, you can leave your animal on my driveway, is understood that you're going to be now totally responsible and totally liable. So the Gemara says maybe these two machloksim go hand in hand. You're right, and your head, but only a little bit ahead, not so bad. So I'm al Rav Ana de Amri Afilu Rebbe. So Rav will tell you I go like Rebbe, and I'm al Charav. Sorry, I'm al Charav Ana de Amri Afilu Rebbe. Ad kan lo kama Rebbe hasam ala de bistama lo kabbalah nitirasa avahacha kabbalah nitirasa. So Rav says, look, leave me out of this whole discussion, because Rav will tell you that if you accept upon yourself shmira, so then good. So then the shomer's, it follows the shomer's tchum. The Mishnah and Baba Kama, he didn't accept upon himself shmira. So Rav says, I don't need to look at these two issues tied together. And Shmuel Amar Ana Dami Afilu Rabbanan. And Shmuel says, yeah, me too. Meaning, don't connect me to the Mishnah and Baba Kama. Right? This is an exercise that the Gemara does often, where the Gemara has the Amoraim do not want to get involved in a Machlokas Tanayim. Because then, basically, what you're doing then is you're pigeonholing me into a particular shita, which I may or may not want to be part of. So over here, so Shmuel says, same with me. I could agree with the Chachamim because Ad kan lo kamei Rabban Hashem ala denichal elenish denekum to Rebbe Shosei debal chaser the imazik lei lo mechayim. And let me explain to you why the Tana Kama, the Chachamim, the Mishnah Baba Kama. Right? What's the Chachamim's position? I drop off my animal by Ben, and I say, can I park it in your driveway? And Ben says, sure. Okay? And the Chachamim say, and what happens now? So that is an agreement to Shmira, even if he doesn't say, I'm going to be the Shomer. So the Gemara says, do you know why over there it's an agreement to Shomer, to Shmira? The Nichalei Le'inish, the Nekum Ture B'Rishusei Debal Chatzer, the Imazgelei Lo Mechayev. Because let's think of it from the perspective of the owner. From my perspective, I'm happy for him to be a shomer. Why am I happy for him to be a shomer? Because not only does he have the responsibility and the liability, but my happiness also results in the fact that I am not going to be responsible for any damages. The animal that I parked in his driveway, animal goes crazy, animal does damage around his house, he's responsible for that. Meaning, part of his acceptance of shmira is really twofold. Number one, he's liable for the animal. Number two, if the animal does any damage in his house, that's not on me. That's on him. So there, the Mishnah Baba Kama. So yeah, I'm happy with him being the Shomer, because he's liable, and I'm excusing myself from any damages that are done. But now let's go to our issue. Our issue is what? Our issue is Tchum. I don't want to relinquish my Tchum. Meaning, I'll give him the item, but that doesn't mean I don't want to relinquish my tchum. If on Yontif I want to come over the house and I want to take the item and I want to go wherever I want to go with the item, so I'm not prepared to relinquish tchum. So Shmuel's position is, look, from a shmira standpoint, yeah, it's yours. From a tchum standpoint, I'm not ready to give that up. But over here, am I ready to give over my tchum to somebody else? I'm not. Okay, so it was an attempt in the Gemara to link together our machlokus between Rav and Shmuel to the machlokus of the Tana Kama and Rebbe regarding the acceptance of Shmira, and the Gemara says, leave it out. Now we can go back to our Mishnah. Okay, good. So, but where we stand right now is a basic machlokus between Rav and Shmuel regarding a Shomer. A Shomer accepts produce prior to Yontif. Whose tchum does it follow? Shmuel's position is the owner. Rav's position is the shomer. So the Gemara now is going to look back at our Mishnah. Tanan. Im irevu peres of kamohu. What do we learn in our Mishnah? That if I make an erev, so the fruit is like mine. Now, Iyamar, now, what's the scenario of the Mishnah? Meaning, where's my fruit right now? Not by me. Somebody else's house. And as long as I have access to get there on Yontiv, so whose tchum does it follow? My tchum. Okay. So, right? It sounds pretty clear. Right. Meaning, it sounds like from the Mishnah, it's the owner's tchum. This seems to be a very solid support for Shmuel. that it's the owner's tchum, and the owner did not relinquish his tchum. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe Rav, Kigon Sheichel Karen Zavis. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we can say in defense of Rav is that, you know, maybe the Mishnah over here is dealing with an unusual scenario where I took my produce and I did take and I did entrust Ben to be my shomer, and he did accept upon himself shmira, but you know what? He really didn't. He said, look, you want it right. You want to keep it by my house, that's fine. I'll tell you what, I'll even give you a room. Okay? I'm not accepting. Right. It's not my room, that's your room. Okay? Your room, your problem, your tchum, meaning it's all yours. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Now, granted, that's a dochek, right? But we want to, we don't want the Mishnah, I mean, it'd be nice if the Mishnah came out.
Explicit there.
Huh?
He's being very explicit.
Correct. But the Mishnah doesn't say any of this, but this is a Gemara suggestion within the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, Misha is Niman Etzal Orchim Lo Yiluch B'yad Manos Alim Kin Zach Lahem Manosem Erev Yontif. They go, let's go to the next line of the Mishnah. I'm going to go over to somebody's house on Yontif. You know what? I'd like it so that his, so that what I'm going to give him, or the bottle of wine that I'm going to give him, follows his tchum. So the Mishnah says, so what do? Before Yontif? Zikui. You get somebody else, you hand it to somebody else on his behalf, and now it falls under his tchum. Again, let's think about it. Where's the wine going into Yontif? By him? No. It's by me. It's his wine, but I'm right now the shomer. And whose tchum does it follow? The owner, not the shomer. So once again, back to our Mishnah sounds a lot like Shmuel and not like Rav. So the Gemara gives one suggestion. Well, if I'm Mizakeh, if I acquired it for him, it's like I basically gave him a room. Okay? It's difficult to understand that answer, but the Gemara says it. Fine. Ibaisema Zacha Shani. Or the Gemara says, no, you're Zoche. Meaning, the Ibaisema, it's very simple. If I am going through the trouble before Yontif of acquiring it for him, clearly what I want to do is I want to transfer ownership and I want to transfer tchum. Obviously. That's the whole purpose why I'm doing it. So there in that scenario, I'm not. It's not that I'm the original owner and I want to hold the tchum for myself. I'm clearly going out of my way to transfer tchum. That could be different. We finish up this whole discussion with a story. Rav Chana Bar Chanilai Tala Bisra Be'avra Didasha. Okay. The Gemara gives us very little detail in terms of what exactly happened over here, but Rashi gives us, fills in the blank a little bit more. Rav Chana Bar Chanilai was visiting a hotel on Yontif. He didn't go there before Yontif began. He went there after Yontif began. And what he was going to do is, he was going to stay there the night, and the next morning he was going to go back home. So, and the only way he was going to get over to that hotel is only Al Yidei Eruv. Okay? And what happened? What happened was, is that the butchers of the town knew that Rav Chana was coming. Rav Chana was, you know, scholar in residence. Although, not even in residence, less in residence. I mean, he wasn't even staying the whole Shabbos. Right, so partial visitation. But anyway, let's say Yontif, just to make it easy. But it was just, okay. And, so what the butchers did, Rav Chana's coming, he's staying at the hotel, you know what? Let's really treat him. So they cut it, they shecht a piece of meat, they hang the meat on his door. Okay, you know how you go to a hotel, sometimes a little chocolate under the pillow. So over here, he was even one better. Okay, so a nice piece of steak hanging right at the door. So, Be'avra Didasha, also coming to Rav Huna. Now, Rav Chana goes to Rav Huna. Rav Chana says to Rav Huna, okay, can I do right? Now, question's really simple now. I mean, simple. After having spent the last couple of days talking about Tchum, we could say it. Question's really simple. Is that under my Tchum? Or is that under the butcher's Tchum? Can I take it home with me? Or do I have to eat it right here? So Amar Leh, so Rav Huna gives him an interesting answer. E at talit zil shakel. Vi e inu talalacha lo tishkol. Well, if you are the hanging the meat on the door, so then, yeah, it's your tchum. And if it's the butcher who hung the meat on the door, so then it's the butcher's tchum. That's Rav Huna's response. And the Gemara is bewildered. What? What does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara says, "V'iiu tala mishakal v'harav huna tama derav hava v'amar rav karag l'mishif kido atzlo." So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. Rav Huna is a student of Rav. So that means that we're back to the question of Shomer. So if we're back to the question of Shomer, so now Rav's of the opinion mishif kido atzlo, meaning I don't care who the owner is. I want to know who's entrusted with it. That's who's tchumet is. So what difference does it make whether they hung it on the door? At that point in time, Rav Chana wasn't there. It was under Shmira. It should be the Shomer's Tchum. So the Gemara says, Shani Yibra Dadash, the Gemishi Yechalo Karen Zaveh, Dami. So the Gemara says, well, hanging on the door is like giving him a room. So in other words, it's not that I'm a Shomer, I'm giving you the room, your meat, your Tchum.
Hold it.
Now I'll say it again. You're ahead. So give it a moment. So Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi V'Iinu Talalei Lo Shakil. So the Gemara says, okay, and I'm still don't understand the Pesach of Rav Huna. Let's say the butcher, was the one who hung it on the door. And so what? V'Amar Shmuel, Shur Shal Petam Harei Karag LeKol Adam. Remember, we just discussed a couple days ago. Shmuel says that when you hang, let's say better, when you sell meat to somebody, even if you're making the sale on Yantav itself, but by profession, I got it. By profession, you're a mocher. So whose tchum does it follow? The purchaser. So over here, it should be any different. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi Vinu Talalei Lo Shakil. So the Gemara says, yeah, I can argue the other direction. So the V'Hamar Rabba Barchan Rabbi Yochanan Alachik Rabbi Dosa. Remember Rabbi Dosa? We saw him just a couple days ago in the Daf, where if there's one shepherd, everybody knows that they're going to be the recipient of the meat from that one shepherd in town, and so therefore going in, the shepherd obviously designated it to go to the recipient. So Amalei Rav Ashi LeRav Kahana V'Iinu Talalei Lo Shakav Atanan Habeim Avakelim Karagli Abalim. And the Gemara says, and another question: if they hung it, it belongs to him, meaning it's his. Karagli, right? It follows the Balam, it follows the owner. So the Gemara says, in other words, to put it simply, I don't understand the Pesach of Rav Huna. If he hung the meat on the door, so it follows his tchum. If they hung the meat on the door, it follows their tchum. I'm not getting it. It's his. It belongs to him. So Ella Shani Rav Chana Bar Chanila Degaver Rabba Hu Vitar Bishmaite. So the Gemara says Rav Huna was addressing not the issue of tchum. The issue of tchum was not under discussion. The tchum belonged. Let's say the tchum belonged to Rav Chana. Period. It's however you want to say it. It's his room. It's like a merchant. It belongs to him, and the tchum is his as well. The issue over here is a totally different issue. Okay, and Ben, you accurately predicted. Hachi kamar lei iat talit islach simana begave v'lo masachta daitech minei. Look, if you're the one who hung the meat, it means that you obviously are going to keep your attention on the piece of meat. And therefore explains Rashi, the Gemara doesn't say this, but therefore explains Rashi, it's not basar shenes alim in a ayin. It's not meat that was left unattended to. Meat that's left unattended to is prohibited. Gemara in Chulin, Rashi here quotes it. So if you're the one who hung the meat, your mind is going to be on it all the time. So zil shakel, and then you could take it. V'i'inu talalach, but if you didn't hang the meat on the door, and they hung the meat on the door, masachta daitech, so your mind has been distracted from it, and lo tishkol, and therefore you cannot take it. Because now it's subject to the rule of Bastash and Asalam and Ayim, and therefore you can't take it. Now, I don't know. In other words, the Gemara here is speaking about hanging on the door. Okay? And it is interesting. It sounds like from the Gemara, the way Rashi is explaining it, Bastash and Asalam and Ayim doesn't necessarily mean that you need a visual on it at all times, but you have to. Right. Correct. Agreed. You have to just be aware of it. You have to be conscious of it. You have to be cognizant of it. And by the way, just as a parenthetical note, Rashi does point out that really the pshat could be a different pshat. Take a look at that last Rashi right before the Mishnah. Lashon Achir, Rashi just says two words. Mishum Muktza. Maybe it's not a Basar Shen Asalam and Ayin issue. Maybe it's a Muktza issue. Okay. But Rashi leaves it at that, meaning could be. Let's start the Mishnah. Let's just get.
You said that the third party is either to acquire it. So if you hear it, they just put it on the door. So there was no third party.
But he's. I understand, but the butcher is a merchant. And merchants, we talked about this the other day. Merchants have in mind going into Yontif. It's not for me, it's for whoever's coming and buying. Okay. Ein mashkin v'shochten etza midbarios av mashkin v'shochten etza baisos. Elo en baisos halanos be'er midbarios halanos be'efer. Okay, back to Muksa. Last topic of the Masechta, last discussion. The Masechta doesn't give us a break. Meaning, halacha, halacha, halacha. And we end with halacha. So the halacha over here is that when it comes to an animal, the animal cannot be Muksa. It's got to be a baisos, a domesticated animal. If it's midbaros, if it's a wild animal, it's Muksa. Now, lama li lameimar mashkin v'shochten. So first the Gemara's question is, the Mishnah over here is talking about shechting an animal. That's great. I get that. Anyantiv. Hydrating the animal? Hydration is very important. Okay, let's not understand how important it is. But why does the Mishnah have to mention it? So the Gemara says, Milsav aga orche kamashvon delishke inish behemto vahad delishchot mishum sircha demashcha. So the Gemara says just a piece of advice, which I'm sure is going to help none of us in our lifetime. But just a good piece of advice, which is that if the animal is properly hydrated before you shecht it, it'll make it easier to skin the animal. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, let's just finish today with the Braisa, and tomorrow we'll leave ourselves off with the three answers. Okay, the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan midbarios ve'elan baisos. A description, more of a description of what is wild versus domesticated. Midbarios kol shiyotzes bepesach v'ros be'efer v'nechnosos berevir rishona. So the wild animals can be described as animals that leave on Pesach, okay, take care, and come back the first rain. So they're not coming back till the fall. Okay? Elohein baisos, kol shiyotzes v'ros chutz l'tchom, ubaz v'lonos besocha tchom. So during the day, they'll venture out beyond tchom, but at nighttime, they'll be back. Rabbi Omer elov elov baisos, Rabbi says, that's too, you've gone too far in your definition. Both of those are domesticated. Ela elohein madbarios, kol shiyotzes v'ros be'efer, ve'en nechnas l'yishav, lo'y b'yamosachama, v'lo'y b'yamosachshamim. They never come back. They never venture back. They're gone, and that's it. We'll never see them again. Okay? That is the Braisa, just giving us somewhat of a clear definition of what is Baisos, what's domesticated, and what's Midbarios. And obviously, what do you see over here? Rebbe is obviously subscribing to a concept of Muksa. The Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to give three answers. And tomorrow, during the Siyam, we'll go over the three answers.
Is it with a shepherd, or would it just go by themselves? So is there somebody going...